O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we've reached this third Sunday in Advent, the pink candle. The Latin term here is Gaudete Sunday, the joy Sunday. Gaudete coming tied in with the Magnificat of Mary. My soul rejoices. We'll sing that at the end of the service today. We heard in Zephaniah chapter 3 about sing aloud, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He's cleared away your enemies. The King, and that's a focus during Advent, of Israel, the Lord is in your midst, Emmanuel, and you shall never again fear evil. And St. Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And then in verse 6 he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer. O come, Emmanuel is a prayer that the church has prayed. Well, maybe from the beginning of the time there's a church, but in its formal form, like 1,000 years. One of the oldest hymns we have in the hymnal, and this O come, Emmanuel, provides a shape or a direction for our prayer. It's prayed to Jesus and in Jesus. Jesus, who is Emmanuel. We see the manger set up over there, that God has come into our midst. I used to think that this the Pink Sunday was one that gave some relief from the heaviness of Advent, but as we move through Advent each year, I think there's joy in the middle, but today is a time especially to focus on that joy. The refrain to O come, Emmanuel, though, in English, I think it sounds a little weird, I think. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel has come to you, O Israel. And is it rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, like we're telling God to rejoice? Well, no, that's not right. In English, maybe it sounds better to say, rejoice, rejoice, O Israel, shall come to you Emmanuel. God is with us. Well, maybe you've noticed this, and if your hymnals are still open, they should be, because you're going to have to sing three more verses. Not have to, you get to. There are these great O antiphons here. Those are little prayers on the right side of the page, and I've also included in the bulletin this handout on blue paper. The backside has the great O antiphons, although I'll tell you, it's 1, 3, 5, 2, 4, 6, 7. So that may be a little nonsensical to you. So just look at the pictures, and got the page here. But these antiphons, an antiphon is a voice against, or maybe we're prayed over and against, not against in terms of contrary idea, but against the Magnificat, the song of blessing and rejoicing of Mary. And an antiphon here is a collect, or a collect, if you say collect. But in the church, it sounds better, a collect. We've already prayed a collect today. A collect is a short prayer, and there is a formula or a form for a collect. It starts with an invocation or calling on the name of God. So you'll see that in each of those. We'll talk about those. So it goes from an invocation or a name of God to then a praise of God, ascribing praise to God. And then it moves into the third thing, which is a petition. Gretchen, you know what a petition is, right? What is it? A request. Perfect. I knew. I was confident in you. And then finally, it is a cry to come. O come, Emmanuel. So we'll talk about those. Now, when we sing the song, we start with the seventh antiphon, which is for December 23rd. This is also timely, because you'll be ready to pray these starting tomorrow, because December 16th to the 23rd are the seven antiphons we pray in preparing to remember that God is with us, has come 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. So the first prayer for December 17th, and you see it here with O Wisdom, and the artist, I think this is probably like a woodcut or something, or carving, or a print. We have the all-seeing eye of wisdom. And also, I didn't have people do this last night, but maybe, because it's not a game. And there's not even a prize except for the satisfaction. If you want to write the Latin terms on here, this may really edify you. So anybody know the Latin word for wisdom? I heard somebody start. It's sapientia. So, okay, that'll be bonus points. Sapientia, like a sapient creature, have wisdom. So, sapientia. Seriously, at the end of the sermon, this will be a huge payoff if you write down the Latin words under here. And if you ever play Jeopardy. So, O come, O come. So, O wisdom proceeding from the mouth of the Most High. So, the wisdom, Jesus Christ is the Logos, the Word of God, who was there, the Trinity has always been there, who was there at the creation, all things were created in and through Him, they're rooted in Jesus. In John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh, ultimately, and dwelt among us. So we have that idea there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, wisdom is the foundation of fear in the Lord. There is a wisdom in following Jesus and being His disciple. We know that Jesus Himself says that He is the way and the truth and the life. And so, O wisdom proceeding from the mouth of the Most High, pervading and permeating all of creation, mightily ordering and setting into place all things, because our God is not a God of disorder and chaos, but a God of order. And so our first prayer on December 17th, tomorrow, is come and teach us the way of prudence. Come and teach us the way of prudence. So wisdom, or the Latin word sapientia, December 17th. And then we move over to O Adonai. Now, for our purposes this morning, the Latin word for Adonai, we're going to use Adonai. I think it would be Kyrie, more like Lord, but we're going to say Adonai, because for what we're doing at the end. So, O Adonai, you've heard of Adonai before. Adonai is, well, it's Yahweh, but the way that Hebrews would say it, because God's name is so holy, they wouldn't say it, so they would say Adonai or Lord. And the image is here. What do you see in this picture for Adonai? Stuff you recognize? I see some lips moving, but I don't hear. Yes, a burning bush and tablets, and who do you think about there? Moses. So God, who is there, who created all things, continues to reveal who He is, and so He comes to Moses and reveals who He is. And Moses says, who would I say you are? And he says, my name is Yahweh, I am. I am, Yahweh is the God who delivers Israel. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, He delivers His people. Incidentally, Jesus is the one who comes and with His arms outstretched on the cross delivers you and me. It's all about Jesus. Make sure you get your ornament today. It's Zephaniah who says, the Lord, or Yahweh, has taken away the judgments against you. He ultimately will bear your shame. He is a God of mercy, and He has cleared away your enemies. So the prayer on December 18th, O Adonai, and ruler of the house of Israel, we sang, who to your tribes on Sinai's height, who appeared to Moses in the burning bush and gave him the law on Sinai, come with an outstretched arm and redeem us, buy us back and save us. Which then moves into December 19th, O stock of Jesse, or root of Jesse, the Latin word for this. I think this would be a popular name, so for a boy, Radix. R-A-D-I-X, Radix, O root or stock of Jesse. Sometimes this is depicted as a tree that's been cut down, and out of that cut down tree or stump, there is a shoot coming up, because God is doing a new thing. A new branch is budding out of the old root. It's the angel who promised to Mary, the Lord God will give Jesus the throne of David, his father. He will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and His reign will be without end. And sometimes we get that quotation from Isaiah 9 in Handel's Messiah, and He shall reign forever and ever. That really didn't sound like the tune at all, but in my head it sounded perfect. So Christ Jesus is two things. He is the son of Jesse, who is the father of David, but He also inherits a royal throne, just like David did. So the prayer on December 19th, O root of Jesse, standing as an ensign or a sign that all the people will see, the one who has been lifted up, that all will see, before whom all kings are mute, Because on that day when Christ returns, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. Other than that, there's nothing else to say. To whom all the nations will do homage, come quickly to deliver us. So that refrain, that call to come, come, come quickly to deliver us. And then we move into December 20th, O Key of David. And the key here not only looks like a key, but also the top of the key hopefully looks like a scepter. Symbols of things that of kingly power and authority, that Jesus Christ has ascended to the right hand of the Father, the position of authority and power that He has given and creates the church, and the church has the power or authority to both bind and loose sin. And so we sing and open wide our heavenly home, because Christ is the door. It's Jesus who frees us from captivity to, as Martin Luther would teach us, sin and death and the power of the devil. Oh, and you're like, well, wait a minute. What is the Latin word for key? I'm glad you asked. You know this bone right here? What's this bone right here called? Clavicle. Well, the Latin word is clavis. Or if you wanted to say it, the V's are pronounced with W's, it would be clavis, but clavis is key, clavicle, key. I guess this is a key bone here. So, O Key of David, December 20th, and Scepter of the House of Israel, you open and no one can close. Satan would want to threaten us that he would be able to close the kingdom of heaven to us, but Christ is the door, and He decides opening and closing. He is the way and the truth and the life. You open and no one can close. You close and no one can open. The church is the forgiveness of sins place, and what Christ says is what is. And so when He says your sins are forgiven, they're forgiven as far as the east is from the west. Yet sin is serious, and if you're unrepentant, He says your sin is bound to you. And so our cry here is come and rescue the prisoners who are in darkness and in the shadow of death. And that is repeated on the 20th and the 21st in one form or another. And so December 21st, the image here is, O dawn, we sing, O day spring from on high. The dawn and this window, this resurrection window, the sun rises in the east. And the Latin word here, if you go to the far east, the people who dwell in the Far East, what is that region called? I'm talking about the Far East. I'm not talking about Richmond. Orient, yeah. The Oriens. The Oriens. O-R-I-E-N-S. The Oriens. Oh, come, O dayspring or dawn from on high, Jesus who is the light of the world. At Easter time, we can sing out, shatter the darkness and break the gloom. And in these gray and latter days, we cry out to Christ to come and give us light. Some people have seasonal affective disorder, and as the days grow shorter, especially fitting during Advent, that Jesus is the light that the darkness cannot overcome to bring us out of the gloom of depression and pain. The valley of the shadow of death, He carries us through. There is healing and warmth in and through Jesus for hearts that have grown cold and despondent. There's a more contemporary Christian song that the chorus is, hold on, daylight is coming. Cheer us by your drawing nigh. It is Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, who is mute for a while in Luke chapter 1, who cries out and sings, He, the day spring, shall visit us in His mercy to shine on those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Because without Jesus, we would be the people who would forever sit in darkness. But we have seen a glorious light. So come and enlighten those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We move then to December 22nd, and the image here is, O King. Now, when we sing this at verse 7, we'll say, O come, desire of nations, bind. And that's another way of saying King in this case. Angels from the Realms of Glory also talks about coming the desire of nations. It means king. The Latin word for king in this one, I think this one's probably more well known. I don't know anyone who here, a male who has this name, but there's the Latin word for king. Rex. Yeah, you can see that's an easy one. So Rex. Rex, O King. King of the nations. That Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one who's come not just to save the Jews, but we hear in the scriptures that now salvation is wide. He's come also for the Gentiles. He is the cornerstone upon which our faith, our hope, the church is built. He is the one who unites. He's the one who binds into one. In John 17, the high priestly prayer, that's what Jesus' prayer is, that we would become one, because it's sin that drives us apart, and he is the one who brings us together. A plea that God will save all of humanity, all of those who are under the curse of sin. Because in Adam, all have fallen. All are cursed. But in Christ, the second Adam, all are made holy and pure. O King of nations, the ruler they long for, the cornerstone uniting all people, come and save us all whom you formed out of clay. Hearkening all the way back to the creation. And then finally, December 23rd, O Emmanuel. And the Latin word for Emmanuel is Emmanuel. It's there, that's a Hebrew word, and you can't change it to Latin, so Emmanuel. Our King and our Lord. See, our expectation of O come, Emmanuel, ultimately is one of joy and anticipation. There's a certainty of fulfillment that says that when Christ comes in all of his glory, and we get a glimpse of that, and the angels would sing that to the shepherds, the one who comes to save, the Savior long expected of all creation, that we know that each and every day we need this Savior to come and create in us new and clean hearts, to come and ransom captive Israel. O Emmanuel, our King and our Lord, the anointed for the nations and their Savior, Savior from sin, come and save us, O Lord our God. So if you started from the bottom and you have and worked back and you just took the first letter of those Latin words, E for Emmanuel, R for Rex, O for Oriens, that's arrow. So if you wrote arrow, E-R-O, and then space, and then we've got key of David, clavis, stock of Jesse, or root of Jesse, that is radix, Adonai, A, and then wisdom, sapientia, S, arrow, cross. And then you said, yes, that says it all, right? There's more Latin. Arrow, cross. Now, I didn't come up with this. Surprise, right? So if you're going to procrastinate, you're going to save it for tomorrow, right? That's what the cross is. Procrastinate, save it for tomorrow. Arrow, cross. It means simply, I come tomorrow. I thought this was pretty cool. Arrow, cross. The first letter, if you work from the 23rd back to the 16th, of all those Latin words, arrow, cross, I come tomorrow. That's what we live in, that joyful expectation. Well, I actually think it could be today. Now don't quote me on Twitter or something and say, Pastor Troy said, December, what is tomorrow is the 16th. Jesus is coming. December, no. But I come tomorrow because tomorrow, then the new day is coming in Jesus. We are always ready. And so rejoice, rejoice, O Israel, shall come to you Emmanuel, God with us. So just as we sang the first four verses from December 23rd, 16, 17, and 18, now we'll end with 19, 20, and 21. No. We'll end with 20, 21, and 22 of singing about our Emmanuel. Rejoice, rejoice, O Israel, shall come to you. He came once 2,000 years ago. He lived, he died, he rose on the third day, he ascended into heaven. He is the King who is reigning now, and he will come again. It could be today or tomorrow. We're always ready. O come, Emmanuel. And now may the peace that passes understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our King. Amen.